Hi, this is Rohan Bopanna, and you're listening to me on the Functional Tennis Podcast.
Welcome to episode 7 of the Functional Tennis Podcast. This week we have former world number 3 doubles player Rohan Bopanna. Rohan was a multiple-time Grand Slam finalist. He's also been a Grand Slam winner, and he's been actively playing tennis on the pro circuit for 20 years. Rohan tells us how he's maintained his body. He tells us about the Grand Slam final feeling, playing doubles with Denis Shapovalov and other singles guys, his all-time favourite match, his tennis academy in Bangalore, and his love for coffee. I really enjoyed this episode, and I hope you do too. Now let's get it started. Hi, Rohan. Really excited to have you on the Functional Tennis Podcast. How are you?
Hi, Fabio. Thank you so much, for having me. I'm really doing good, and right now, currently on the road as tennis players are always on. I call the airports and the hotel rooms are my second home.
You must know them inside out.
Absolutely. I mean, because the tennis tour goes to pretty much the same cities every single year. So it's nice to obviously come to a few good cities. And I have a lot of friends while I'm traveling. So it's nice to see them.
Great. Well, that's good. I'm sure, yeah, you have your friends in different cities and you can meet them when you go there every year. But one thing I came across is this is your 20th year on the ATP Tour circuit. Is that correct?
That's about right. Yeah. Now for you saying 20 years, I think it's been a long time. What? And, it's really nice to have sustained and played on this ATP Tour for such a long time of something which I've always loved doing is playing tennis.
That is, it's absolutely amazing that you've had such a long career and we're seeing so much of it more. But is this something you planned 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Were you thinking this long term?
Sometimes, I never look at it as a person this long as a term. You just always take it step by step to understand where you reach, which stage in your career you reach, depending on, of course, I've had a few injuries along this 20-year journey as well. So I think you have to take it step by step and then slowly see how long you can keep sustaining it, and that's the key. I think it's sometimes, I keep telling younger players, it's not about just this 1 year when you make a run with your ranking and everything. It's about sustaining it for, few years and having that consistency, which I think makes a difference at the end of the day. So looking back, if somebody had said when I was, made my first Grand Slam final in 2010 and they said, okay, you're going to be playing for another 9-10 years, I would have said, that it would be absolutely amazing, when somebody says that, but you never know where it's headed and, which direction it's headed in.
Great. Well, that's a good way to look at it. But tell me, do you have any secret to how you've gone this long? I know you've had a few injuries, but is there anything you do now that's different or anything you can recommend to younger players to watch out for if they want to have a longer career?
I think one of the key things which really helped me for a few years is actually traveling with a physio, because sometimes tennis, can get very lonely, even though you go to tons and tons of beautiful cities, beautiful countries. The tennis is a very, very lonely tour. And, to do your stretches, doing your cool down all by yourself, it sometimes, as players, as people, we get lazy. So just to have somebody there to motivate you, to make sure you're doing the right stuff. And of course, right after the match, getting your stretches, cooling down week in, week out, doing that, I think helps you sustain that. And so having a physio now for so many years traveling with me has definitely, I feel, sustained my career longer than what I would have probably had if I didn't really have someone traveling and making sure I did the right amount of stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, I think you are correct there. The stretching and the post-match work can be, it's easy, but it's really boring and mundane. And the easy option is not to do it. So that is a good point.
Yeah, because I think, as tennis players, while we are growing, we're obviously learning. So there are a few weeks where maybe the coach is also not there, you're by yourself, you're still okay with it. But then the physio making sure, like I said, doing the right stuff, having food at the right time and, somebody there to make sure, you are, doing all this in time and doing it every single day, which makes a difference.
Yes, I used to see a friend of mine, Sam Barry, an ex-pro, and when he used to be in Dublin, the odd time I used to see him in our local tennis club in the gym, and he'd be doing the same 45-minute exercise routine before, and he'd one for after every session. And it really, it it's a 9-to-5 job, really. And I think a lot of people outside tennis don't realize it's a full-time job, that by the time you get your proper food in, you get your proper post-practice, post-match, you get your routines in, and then afterwards, and then now you've to use ice baths at tournaments or any of the nitrogen stuff.
The ice baths are literally every week.
You find they make a big difference.
Older you get, the longer you're sitting in it, I feel.
How long do you, I know there's different protocols for an ice bath. Some people say a minute in, a minute out, a minute in, a minute warm, or some people say 10 minutes. What's your protocol with an ice bath after a tough match?
I mean, I go directly in for 10 minutes there. I think I've always felt better in terms of my recovery. For me as a player, that worked. And you're right. I mean, some people, they like it 1 minute in, 1 minute out. But also it depends whether you have the right kind of temperature when you come out in terms of going into a warm water or have those facilities, which obviously some tournaments do not have that. But all the tournaments now have the ice bath. So you see more and more players absolutely using it because there is actually a really good benefit for the recovery process.
And have you used the nitrogen tanks at all?
Once and, but it's not at, all tournaments. So it's not easy to get access to that. Sometimes at a hotel room, I mean, the most of the, especially here in the States, you can, all the floors always have these ice machines. So if you have a tub in your hotel room, you can always just fill that up and, do it every single day.
So it's you who empties the ice machine, is it? When I go look for ice, there's never ice there.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's if there happened to be a tennis tournament that week, that's definitely used by the tennis players for sure.
I love it. And tell me, so you're taking care of your body. Has training, like if you look back 19, 20 years ago and now, I know there's a recovery element of it, but are you on the court a lot less now from practice point of view?
In what way would you say that?
Would I be right in saying that you spend more time in the gym now warming up and cooling down and less time practicing on court? And before, let's say, when you first started, you would have spent a lot more time on court and less time in the weights room.
Yeah, that is definitely, I think, it happens a lot more because of the fact that I have learned as a player what is required, a more practical way to sustain your body and to maintain your body 100% out of it for the next day, whether you have a match or whether it's practice. As a young junior out there, you think just playing hours and hours of tennis, you're going to get better and better. Of course, you are going to get better, but simultaneously making sure you have all these covered. And sometimes I think one of the key things when I spoke about having a physio is when you're doing those stretches or doing those exercises, it's about how correctly your form of doing those exercises are, and somebody watching that makes a huge difference. Because otherwise sometimes your body is tired and you're doing it the wrong way, which could lead to some other different kind of injury which you're not really unaware of. That I think over the years has made me understand that doing the right kind of recovery, whether it is on court, off court, and keeping the form correctly also while doing these exercises is a huge difference.
That's a great point you made. Actually, like you talk about, obviously understanding your body, understanding what works for you, but also making sure you're doing the exercises the correct way. I think a lot of us, I may be very guilty of this as well, where you do the exercises, but you don't do them properly. Like sometimes I'm doing some yoga exercises and my wife is a qualified yoga instructor and she look at me and goes, "You're doing them totally wrong." And I can see the advantage of having somebody there, making sure you're doing them right all the time. So you're getting maximum benefit every single time.
Yeah. And not only that, and then you're making sure that trying to get hurt, trying to do something else as well. I think it definitely makes a huge difference having someone there monitoring whatever you're doing.
That's the physical, taking care of your body side. But from a game point of view, in the length of your career, what's changed from back 20 years ago to today? How's the doubles game evolved? I have read that before it was all serve and volley, serve and volley, serve and volley. Now there's just guys who stay back. They don't come in. Is that one of the big changes?
I think that has to be, yes, it is definitely one of the changes. There are a lot more teams who serve and stay back on the clay courts. Even I do it sometimes. I don't really serve in volley all the time because the surface and the speed of the surface, everything has changed. The balls have gotten a little more heavier in terms. So I think as a player also, you need to adapt to the situation. So I feel that I have a better chance, especially on a slower court, if it's my second serve, to really hit a forehand and go in and attack the volley than right after my serve. Because sometimes the guys are returning extremely well today. So you're digging off volleys off your feet or half volleys, and then they are in offensive position. So sometimes mixing that has helped me, definitely, especially on the clay. And I've enjoyed playing on the clay for the last 5 or 6 years. Before, I used to always struggle on that surface. I didn't know what exactly to, do, because the clay is so different compared to Indian clay and the European. Speaking to a lot of, players as well, yes, there are certain players better in a situation doing serve and volley than, serving and staying back and have that option also. But there are a lot of teams who hardly, like you mentioned, come in. They prefer staying at the back, and they're really, really good, from the back. And it makes it very, very hard as, somebody at the net, because the balls that they hit are coming with tremendous speed, a lot of rotation on it, not easy to volley. So, it definitely gets tougher, and the doubles game has evolved in a huge, huge way. There are a lot of singles players constantly playing doubles as well now. They are enjoying playing doubles. I've played with a lot of singles guys on the tour, and they actually really take it in terms of trying to improve even their game, having set targets, improving their volley, and they want to, really do well in doubles as well. So I think it's a mix of everything in terms of even rankings. Now, with your singles ranking, you can get into a doubles tournament. Back in the day, it used to be only doubles ranking getting into all the tournaments. So now it's given a lot more opportunities for also the singles players to play that, and they're playing at a really, really high level. So that doubles game has evolved and has definitely become much tougher.
It's especially with this top singles guys now playing doubles, which I think is amazing. It's really helped this year, especially Andy Murray being the biggest example. I know Tsitsipas playing a lot of doubles, and it just helps get doubles out there, which I think is amazing because there's so many good doubles matches. But what singles guy? I saw you played with Shapovalov earlier. Who else have you? What other singles guys have you played with this year?
I played with Pablo Cuevas as well. I played with Marius Copil.
I saw your match with Marius on. I'd left Roland Garros and I saw it here. I completely forgot about that. I saw it. I was watching on my laptop here. I saw the match against Janko. I thought you should have won that. I was telling Marius, we had Marius on the podcast a few weeks ago, and I was telling him the same thing.
Yeah, we should have definitely won that match, especially since we were dominating it after the first set, even the second set, up break twice. One love breakup and then 4-3 breakup, match points in the third set. So I think we had a lot of chances in that match. It was a tough loss to digest after.
Was there a neck court, or did the ball hit you on match point, or was that what happened?
Forehand, I hit Marius on his left shoulder.
Oh yeah, nightmare.
As they say, you live by those inches and you die by those inches. Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
And you were playing against two baseliners.
We were playing against two baseliners, and I was having a down-the-line rally with Janko, and Marius and Dusan Lajovic both were in the net. And it was after the fourth ball, I decided to go cross-court, and the ball was headed for a winner, but unfortunately, it clipped Koppel's shoulder. And, If it somehow missed his shoulder, the ball was going for a winner, because I asked Dusan later, were you in position to cover it? And he said, I wasn't even looking to cover that stuff.
Oh, no, that's tennis for you, isn't it?
Exactly. So many times it goes in your favor, sometimes it doesn't, but, that's really how, tennis has been for the past few years, especially with the super tie breaks now. You never know with any team, it could, and the momentum swing is so often, it shifts, that you never know what can happen.
Yeah, how exciting are those super tie breaks where it always comes down to a super tight score, like be it, 10-8, 13-11, 15-13, they're so tight. And yeah, it's amazing. It really makes it exciting.
Watching, I completely agree with you. Playing, I'm not sure when I'm playing the super tiebreak. Watching, it is definitely makes it a lot of fun, great entertainment, and keeps everyone on their toes and excited, which is really fantastic.
And tell me, who's your favorite singles player to play with?
I've enjoyed playing with this year with Denis Shapovalov. I played Indian Wells Miami with. He's a really, really young, talented guy. He loves to hit that ball hard. He hits it very, very clean. And he's enjoying the game. And I've played with him in Stuttgart too. We made finals there. I'm going to be playing with him in Montreal, Cincinnati, and US Open as well. I'm looking, forward to playing with him some more. I've really enjoyed playing with him this year. And 2017, I played with Pablo Cuevas, and we had a good year. We had some good wins, winning Monte Carlo and Vienna as well. And he's such a great guy. I've known him for a long, long time, from the days I also played him in US Open in my singles. And so I've known him for a long time. So these guys, when you're on the tour for such a long time, I think you just build such a good relationship with them that, when you get on court and play with them, it just makes it so much easier.
Pablo's the trick shot king now, isn't he? He comes up with some ridiculous shots.
Yeah, I told him every year he's getting better with those shots.
Yeah, he definitely is. And so next week, you're in Canada. This will actually air next week. So this week, you're in Canada and you're playing with Dennis. That's going to be amazing from a crowd perspective.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going to, Montreal and this. Going there in Canada, playing with Dennis, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There are some young, talented kids from Canada who are doing extremely well right now. Felix Auger, Alice May is doing extremely well. Dennis has had, good success, especially in the beginning of the year. So it'll be nice to, have some support from the home crowd, when I'm playing there, which doesn't really happen often. So it'll be nice to go to Canada and play with him.
And tell me, does India have any ATP Tour tournaments?
Yes, we do have an ATP event which happens on the first week of every year. It's in Pune, right?
Okay.
Maharashtra Open. This year, Divij Charan and myself, we ended up winning the title there. It was nice to win, title at home. Always very, very special.
I say that's a great feeling. But speaking of India, how does India have such good players? Like, I see they have about 20 players ranked in the world in singles. You have 5 players in the top 100 in doubles. Is it a numbers game? What's the secret sauce?
I mean, I don't think actually there's a numbers game. And I honestly believe tennis is very, very popular sport in India. It's been there for a long, long time. Of course, from the days we had Ramanathan Krishnan making semifinals at Wimbledon, twice. So tennis is generally a very, very popular sport played in every single country club. But I just feel, apart from the handful of players who have come out and, whether it's in the doubles, we have a couple of guys ranked in the 200, then one guy in the top 100 in singles. I still believe we can do a lot more in terms of having a good structure in place in India. And that will definitely change and bring a lot more tennis players representing the country at the biggest tournaments around the world. It is all the players who have come out and are playing on the tour have done it by themselves. So there's no really a secret or a path towards making that journey of wherever, they are ranked today. It is all by themselves trying to, just play tournaments close by. Even though when I say close by for us in India, Asia is but it's still a long yes. flight out. It's not like when I tell the few European players where you can just take a train or a car to drive to tournament.
I love it.
But still, having those limited facilities, limited tournaments, which we have, the fact that somebody wants to perform and try and do their best in the sport which they love and coming up, is that's how we have had, I think, great tennis players who have come out of the country.
Did you know we have over 170 great episodes with coaches, players, trainers, and experts working at the highest level of the game? Tap the subscribe button on your podcast app so you don't miss out on the latest episodes of the podcast. And to listen to our great back catalogue of episodes with the biggest game changers in tennis, go to functionaltennispodcast.com. And just two questions regarding that. One is, what would you say to the Irish Federation to help us get better players? We seem to have some players, some were ranked Conor Nolan 120, James McGee was up there as well, Sam Barry was getting close there, but they just can't break through. Like, I think we've some of the best golfers in the world, decent footballers, the odd good cyclist. There's some good athletes here, but tennis, we just can't seem to make the major breakthrough. And I think it starts a long way back. What would be your advice, given your experience at the top level? What should they be looking out for?
No, I think most of the countries, if you look at the success they've had with a lot of players coming out, is having a good junior program and a junior structural program, having tournaments under 10, under 12, under 14, under 16, constantly having local tournaments in the country, which makes a big difference in starting them to understand how tough the competition is, what kind of level of the competition is. They're constantly having good players to practice against with. I think that slowly builds into the next generation and slowly building the sport. For me, my singles challenger title was actually in
Dublin. Oh, was it? In Fitzwilliam? That's my club.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's the club. I won singles and doubles at the Fitzwilliam tournament. I mean, it was the way I like to play and serve with serve and volley. The artificial grass suited my game very well.
That's amazing. I did not know that. That is amazing. Actually, the Futures Tournament, now it's only a Futures Tournament because artificial grass, you can only do up to a 15K on it. And it's on this week, actually. This actually leads right on to my second question. Do you think with this country, just having artificial grass helps players in the long term? Do you think it's a big negative factor? It's a big factor, sorry, to why we haven't got good players, because they've been playing their whole life, well, let's say all their junior career on artificial grass.
No, I think that has to change, no doubt. I mean, because we do not have any, not even a single tournament on that surface. If you want to, have tennis players come out of, a country, definitely that has to change in terms of even giving them, whether to play on a hard court or a clay court or whatever, it's possible to do. Because the artificial grass is really, really quick. And when you learn on that surface, it's tough to change, your basics and everything suddenly when you go into a slower surface. So I think I would definitely say that, country will, or the federation or whoever it may be, it'll make a huge difference if they do have, other surfaces along with, the artificial grass.
I completely agree with you. Though I would not like to play you on a wet Irish artificial grass. I'd say you'd cut me up and most people up.
That's exactly how the surface was. When I played the challenger, that it used to drizzle a little bit, and then I kept complaining to the referee saying it's drizzling, but I kept winning. Yeah. So, I didn't know which the strategy was, whether it was my game or it was me complaining to the referee saying it was raining. But it was Ed Hardesty who was there, a referee at that point of time. And he told me, why do you keep complaining every day? You're winning. So just keep playing.
I love it.
Such a fond memory in terms of not only, winning the singles and the doubles. At that point of time, the challenger did not have hospitality. You had to pay for obviously the room. But after the winning both singles and doubles, when I came back to the hotel next day, I was checking out, which was a very, very pleasant surprise. They said that the tournament took care of my entire hospital, the winner of both, which was really, really wonderful. And I think it doesn't happen anywhere. So I was really thankful for the tournament. And unfortunately, tournament I thought could have grown to not only one of the big challenges, but maybe even a tour event there, because I really enjoyed that.
Well, that will be one of my goals in the long term, to bring a tour event to Dublin. And I think it could be amazing. But first, we need to sort out the courts. I do, with our friend, our mutual friend, James Klusky, it's something we've talked about a lot. And hopefully one day we can make it happen. Just quick question. Did you ever just tell everybody, James Klusky is a pro friend of mine who Rowan knows really well. And he was a top doubles player. He did well, but now he's retired and he's doing well in the business world. Did you ever play with James or against James?
I mean, I know James because he actually came to India during the off-season to train with us. And I remember the first few days he was in Mumbai and he was really, really struggling because it was extremely hot and humid and the conditions were not easy. But hats off to him. He stuck through those 2 weeks. He, put everything out there. And I think he's such a great guy. And, it was really, really nice to have met him again after so many years this year at Wimbledon. And it's, I think he was, I was talking to him and he's, like you mentioned, he said, of course, the Irish tennis is still a long way to go, but I think he really wants also to see Irish tennis grow.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy and he'll do Irish tennis a lot of good. But we were just talking about the surfaces there and you were talking about India and the structure. I believe you set up a tennis academy in Bangalore.
Correct. I did set up a tennis academy. Now it's been about almost 3 years since I've started the academy. One of the main reasons I wanted to start it while I was playing is the fact that I could also give a lot of feedback in terms with the coaches there to know what is going on the tour, to talk to the top coaches, to see how to build a program and really give good amount of feedback, you know, not only to the coaches, but inspire a few kids, while I'm there. Every time I'm in Bangalore, I'm at the academy trying to give them whatever little advice I can, or maybe it's inspiration, you know, they can pick up from somewhere, whether listening to some stories or my matches which I've played on the tour, and I get to play with them. I think I really believe that we have a tremendous talent in India which is still untapped, and a good structure if we can bring in, we can definitely have a lot more tennis players, you know, representing India all over the world.
And how many players train at your facility?
Right now we have about 45-50 players, training there. Actually, I tied up with the sports school right now in Bangalore. It's the first of its kind in India, which is a multiple sporting facility with education, boarding, everything. So it is, we have 7 tennis courts there. So, of course, you have one of the top universities from Bangalore itself running the education there. And so we're giving an option to all the players, not only just from Bangalore, but from all over different parts of India or Asia for that matter, to really come and use the facilities and train there. What I'm actually trying to do is to try and get in. It's the toughest part in India has been getting sponsors, for tennis. Being an individual sport, I think that is something which is not easy to find. That also, I feel, because hardly any matches which we play during the tour are really shown back in India.
Okay, yes, problem.
I keep saying that, players get inspired when you actually watch them, especially if they are from your own country and you happen to watch them playing, automatically you have more interest in wanting to maybe play that sport. So few of my doubles matches are shown back home in India, but otherwise a very selected matches are only shown. So I think if that changes, that also will definitely help in the growth of, the tennis, and also getting in a lot more sponsors.
I agree with you there. I think if Ireland had anybody in top 100, they'd show every single match all the time. That's where it's a bit different here. Once, if you could just get one player to break through, it would be everywhere. But going on, you've 7 courts there. Are they all artificial grass?
That's actually all a hard.
I'm messing. I'm kidding with you.
I have artificial grass at all.
Where you've proper grass courts in India.
Yeah, we have the proper grass courts in India. Yes,
and right. It must be such an inspiration for all your players there to be out when you're there to play with them, to play with a Grand Slam champion.
No, I think so. I mean, it's because every time I'm there, they keep asking me, different, questions about how the tour is, how each player is, what kind of training they do, and so many different questions. And I think it takes them maybe a day before they, start asking me these questions. And after like a couple of guys ask, then suddenly you get this train of questions coming. Till then, everybody's
shy,
a little bit shy, or they're hesitant, So the school which, I've tied up with it's a pure sports school and a sports specialized school, literally, which focuses on integrating sports and education. India is a big factor of when speaking to all the parents is, yes, they do want to play sports, but also, what about the education? So here we are giving an opportunity for the students not only to specialize in sport, but also get education, whether it's from grade 1 all the way up to post-graduation.
I think that's really important. I think a lot of tennis players go pro too soon. They're not good enough and they end up being, 25, 26, no education, no anything. And it's really tough for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and tennis is an expensive sport. I completely agree. It's not easy. So I want to get to a situation. One of the reasons I'm trying to find a sponsor is to try and at least have about 15, 20 tournaments in Bangalore at the sports school itself.
Nice.
So that a lot of kids can, train there, play tournaments. tournaments there, you know, and just try and get that kind of structure, what, you know, Europe has. I mean, if you look at, for example, France or Spain, they have so many tournaments that, you know, don't even really have to leave the country to go out and, you know, play. So I want to get hopefully one day to a place that we have that kind of system. And that will obviously nurture a lot more young, talented kids to, you know, come out and play this sport.
Great. Well, I wish you the best and luck at that, and I'm sure it will work out. You've got the three Grand Slam finals, and you won the 2017 French Open mixed doubles.
That's right. I mean, it is one of the best moments, you know, for me in my career. Yeah, you know, as especially coming from a place in India, a small town place called Coorg, where, you know, there's hardly any tennis players. And for me, watching these Grand Slams and then finally to be in French Open, winning my first Grand Slam, was really, really special and a big moment personally.
Like, I just can't, like, what were you feeling lifting the trophy? I can't imagine. I don't think I've ever spoke to a Grand Slam winner, so this is the first time. Yeah, what is the feeling like? Obviously, before the match, you're a bit nervous. How was it?
I mean, you know, when you're there at that situation, literally, you know, in an hour and a half, you're going to have, you know, either win the tournament or you're going to be lifting the winner's title trophy or the runner-up trophy. But having said that, when you step on the court, I think everything goes away. The nerves go away and you do what you have learned all your life to do, is to play that sport. And irrespective of what the situation or what the score is, I completely remember we were down match points 9-7 in that super tiebreak. And you know, to actually come back from being two match points down and winning my first Grand Slam title, it really actually sank in, I feel, when I got on the flight from Paris to head back to India. You know, that's where you actually have a lot of time for yourself, because you're obviously flooded with phone calls, messages from family, friends, well-wishers. I mean, it was so overwhelming, and everybody's there, they, you know, wishing you. It was such a big moment. So suddenly when I got on the flight, you know, obviously the phones are not, you know, there's no messages or anything coming, everything. That's when I think really sunk in, and, you know, to enjoy that moment of that success, I really felt on that flight back to India.
I'd say it's an amazing feeling. Did you celebrate a little bit afterwards?
I think a lot of celebration happened when I was home in India, you know, a lot of people, my friends, my family, everybody were there. First time at the airport to greet me. I've flown into the airport numerous times, you know, but it was really, really special and nice to have, you know, a lot of friends, family, you know, receive me at like 3 a.m. You know, at Bangalore Airport.
I've seen what Indian weddings are like, so you guys know how to celebrate.
Absolutely, and especially from the community which I come from in Coorg, we really have big, colorful, and you know, a lot of dancing and that kind of wedding. So yeah, great. You're right. It's absolutely, well, you know, something which is a lot of love and
it's well deserved. But I just say that feeling is amazing. But was that the best? What's best, most memorable match you've ever played? Was that it, or is there a Davis Cup moment? Is there one particular match that really stands out?
For me, it was the Davis Cup moment, 2010. Against Brazil in Chennai. The team was Somdev Varman, Leander Paes, Mahesh Bhupathi and myself. And we were playing in the World Group playoff in Chennai, where the ATP tournament used to happen before. Before the Pune Open, it was called Chennai Open. So we were there. And this was, like I said, 2010. I was not really playing that much of singles. But, you know, in the Davis Cup, I was not really playing on the tour. But Davis Cup, I was always playing singles. So first day, it was, and it was really, really hot and humid. And I remember, and I was playing Thomas Bellucci.
Oh, yeah. Brazil.
We played a ton match, 4 hours plus. I had match points, ended up losing. Somdev played Ricardo Melo, also a 4 hour match. Had match points, lost as well. So we're sitting Friday at dinner down love two, where we could have easily been either two love up or at least one all. And then the next day, Bhupathi Paes, they ended up beating Melo Suarez in straight sets. So we were still alive on the tie, so which was really, really good. And then on Sunday, Bellucci actually really tired from the first day of facing the heat and everything. And when he started with Somdev, they played one set 7-6 to Somdev, and then he was completely drained out. He played two more games, I think, and then he...
Oh, wow.
Then it was 2-2 with me playing, you know, the fifth rubber. And we had been to the World Group stage in a few years. So that was a big tie. And for me coming out for the fifth set, and I played absolutely lights out and won my match in straight sets. And I feel that for me was the biggest moment, you know, especially when you represent your country and, you know, win a tie, especially being loved to, and just so many things, so many emotions which went through the 3 days. You know, I think for me as an athlete, that was for me the best moment in my
career. That sounds like an unbelievable experience. And I know we've talked a little bit on the court. We're going to move into off the court. You have a coffee business. Tell me more.
Correct. It's a love for coffee. So it's not only tennis, but it is from tennis to coffee.
Nice. And tell me, it's called Flying Squirrel. That's what it's called.
Yeah, the company is called Flying Squirrel. So coffee was there in my life before my tennis.
Okay.
I've grown up in this place called Coorg, which is a small district in the state of Karnataka, which is about 4 hours drive from Bangalore. And it's about 3,500 or 3,600 feet above altitude. So above sea level, sorry. So, you know, so it's a really, really beautiful, picturesque, you know, place known for Indian coffee. That is where the South Indian coffee is, especially, is very, very famous. So as a family, that's what, you know, our primary living and business is, that we have coffee plantation. And I grew up there in those, in between, you know, all the coffee plantation and everything. And that's how coffee was, you know, part of my life. And one of the reasons I decided to tie up with Flying Squirrel was the Flying Squirrel actually is run by a family friend of mine, and Cage, and he's one of the founders of Flying Squirrel. And I decided to collaborate with them to actually come up with my own master blend right from our estate. And that's pretty much how, you know, coffee came into, you know, the picture. And a lot of, obviously, the tennis players wondering how that came about. So then, you know, everyone got to know that, yeah, I was very much, you know, had coffee throughout my, you know, life. And like I said, tennis was the second option.
Coffee, but that was a good backup. But it's great now that you can move back into it. So you're traveling the world every week, every few weeks. So you're promoting your coffee on the road.
Absolutely. I'm promoting my coffee. You know, a lot of players keep asking for it. The good part is a lot of the players are asking for it once they even tried it for the first time. So clearly they're enjoying the coffee. Well, so that's a good sign. You know, and I travel with the coffee. I try and explore a lot of coffee shops in all these beautiful cities we go to. And it's something very different, very unique. It takes my mind off the tennis as well, and talk to something, you know, completely a different field out there, and learn so much more. And already I'm traveling, you know, for my tennis. So I look at it as a big advantage in terms of constantly meeting different people and really talking about, you know, coffee. And for the more I travel and the more I hear about it, it's just amazing to see so many people who actually, you know, even though, yes, you know, that a lot of people enjoy and drink coffee, but it is, the love for coffee is just tremendous all over the world. Every city you go to, I think it's one of the drinks that
it is, especially
very, very
now. Popular. Coffee is really popular. Quickly, we're just going to move on. I just have a couple of questions left to you. How long do you see your career playing out? I know you take things just step by step, but how long more would you like to play professional tennis for? I know you're still competing at the highest level. And how long more do you think you'll be able to compete at that level?
To be honest, I've really not had a, you know, fixed number in terms of saying how long I am going to be playing. But I would definitely want to play the Tokyo Olympics next year. Representing India, representing Olympics for us is a very, very big thing coming, you know, from a country like India. And this, next year it's going to be in Asia as well. So I'm really looking forward to that. And after that, I don't know. I'm just going to see, you know, where my career is at that point of time, what my ranking is, and then, you know, take it, you know, slowly from there and decide
just
what I want.
Just keep bringing that physio with you. Do not go anywhere without that physio.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's always traveling with me, which is, you know, thankful that he's around, and, you know, it really makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, Rowan, I thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. It means a lot to us. And I thought that was a really exciting, informative call. And I hope you enjoyed it too. So yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Fabio. It was really, really lovely talking to you. I mean, it's something for me. It was one of the first times I'm doing a podcast like this. So
I really
enjoyed it. And thank you for reaching out and, getting me on this, and wish you very, very best. All the best for functional tennis. And, I know you're reaching out to a lot of wonderful people who are interested in learning and knowing a lot more, not only about tennis, but now also some tennis players. So thank you once for reaching out, and hopefully we'll get to see you soon.
Yes, hopefully see you soon. Maybe you can tell Dennis in Canada next week that he should be on the podcast too.
Yeah, I think once it's out, I'll show it to him, and then I'll ask him if he wants to.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. How good was that? I found that really insightful. I really enjoyed that episode, and I really hope you did too. Just want to say thanks again to Rohan, who's on his layover in New York on the way to Montreal, playing some doubles with Dennis. And as usual, if you're not a subscriber, please hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you know any friends who love tennis, please recommend this podcast to them. Thank you very much. See you next week. Bye.